And then a verse in 1 Timothy, so right in that area. But 2 Timothy. Like one of those phone cords, you gotta unravel it here. Alrighty, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read some very familiar verses. I feel like I say that every time I get up here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's turn back actually to 1 Thessalonians. And grab a verse there. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 4. Talking about the will of God that you abstain from fornication, the verse before. But verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so as familiar as 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21 are, 1 Thessalonians 4 says that you need to know how you are supposed to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's what I'll go through, is how to possess your vessel to be a vessel unto honor. And ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, we thank you for gathering these people here tonight. We thank you for the good preaching we've already heard today. And we ask that you would bless Pastor as he's being able to minister to another body of believers. We ask that you would bless him as he travels back later on this week. Also think of David and think of Jason, my dad. Pray that you bless them as they're traveling back as well. Pray that you be with us here, and pray that the words that you want said would come across plain. And we love you. Pray that you would come back soon. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, the familiar verses oftentimes lose its impact. And so how many people know the correlation of the vessels to honor as opposed to the vessels of dishonor? And as familiar as we come with those verses, we often miss the very words in those same verses. And so like I said in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says that you may know how to possess your vessels. So back in 2 Timothy 2, we're going to be there for a majority of the night. 2 Timothy 2, right there in the verse it says, verse 20, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. First thing it says about a vessel unto honor is that it be sanctified. And if you're going to be a vessel unto honor, you need to be sanctified. And I know a good definition of that would be set apart. And that's separation. That's a curse word in today's Christian churches. But you're supposed to be sanctified. If you don't want to be a vessel unto honor, then don't worry about it. If you want to be a vessel to dishonor, then forget about sanctification. Don't be set apart. 2 Corinthians, though, actually I have a verse written down. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. As nasty as the word of separation is, it's still in the Bible just as much as John 3:16, and it's still a commandment for the modern-day Christian, no matter how far down the tubes Christianity goes. 2 Corinthians 4, we will turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is kind of a buzz topic for a lot of people because you get, oh, well, if you clean the outside of the cup, you're like a Pharisee. Well, I would rather have the inside and the outside clean. There's nothing wrong with the outside being presentable to God. And your body, as we'll get into later, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so you're supposed to represent what's inside. So why should you be sanctified? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, talking about Jesus Christ, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. One reason you should be sanctified is because what your vessel is possessing. You guys know the illustration of if you're going to have some, if you're just going to grab a cup of water, no big deal. If you're going to have something that costs a lot, something precious to you, you know, you don't put, women don't put their jewelry in a leftover Cool Whip container because of what represents inside. They put it in a vessel that's honorable to that which is inside of it. And so, like I said, even though the outside is what not what defines you as a Christian, it ought to define what is inside. And you have Jesus Christ in this earthen vessel. And so, if no other reason, you ought to be sanctified and set apart because of who lives inside. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's something about a dirty vessel that is uncomely for anyone, let alone for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be able to reside in that vessel. And I would say one of the characteristics of a vessel is that it be used. If a vessel is not used, it's not doing anything. Sure, you can look at it, but the purpose of a vessel is to be used. How many of you like to use a dirty vessel? If you're going to go to the cupboard and grab something, you're going to put, I don't care what you, it could be hot dogs and beans, it doesn't matter. You're not going to grab a dirty plate. Likewise, when God reaches down, he wants someone that's sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's uses we're going to get into later. But so not only for the purpose of he who dwells inside of you, but also to be ready to be used by him. God looks down and he wants to abide with us, and if he's going to dwell in you, you want to make the person dwelling inside you feel comfortable. If you have someone over to your house, you want them to feel at home. You don't want to bring up, you don't have someone over and just bring up controversial subjects just because. You want them to be the host. You're supposed to be the host to them, and you want to make it according to their what they like. You know, you think about vessels, your wife spends all day to prepare this immaculate meal. I mean, just goes all out. She spends, you know, a decent amount of money for a special occasion. Like I said, all day working. And you come home. This isn't hot dogs and beans. Like I said, this is an elaborate meal that she's prepared for you. It's and you come home and you get out the paper plates. Well, it's not fitting for that type of meal to use paper plates. Paper plates is for something you just grab and go, right? The King of Glory comes down, something that he gave his own life, and he says, I want to dwell inside a vessel. And here we give him just what's left over. We give him a vessel that's not fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how often do we satisfy ourselves with, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's in me and it can't leave eternal security, and we use that. But we don't flip it around and make sure that God has a place that he can dwell. 1 Corinthians, see here, turn to make sure this is the right passage here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, y'all should have this memorized. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I think a lot of people kind of take that prepositional phrase out, in your body, and they say, oh yeah, we're supposed to glorify him in our spirits and what we think and what we do spiritually, and they leave the in your body part completely out of it. Like I said, it's the attitude of, well, I don't want to be a Pharisee. Well, the Pharisees did have some good qualities. And if you say that, then you're saying that you're not as good as a Pharisee. Because even the Pharisee knew how to clean the outside of a cup. And so there is a duty to sanctify and set apart if, like I said, if you want to be a vessel in the honor. Like I said, if you don't want to be a vessel in the honor, don't worry about it. Don't worry about washing yourself. Don't worry about doing any of that spiritually and keeping your the temple of the Holy Ghost clean and pure. Don't worry about it. If you want to be a vessel to a dishonor, that's your choice. like I said about fixing up a house, you fix up your house according to who's coming over. If you're, you know, we have, for example, Peter came over the other day and helped us with the fridge. I'm not saying anything about, oh, we didn't prepare for Peter, but he's my brother. We used to have him over. He just came over. We didn't make this big elaborate meal or anything. It just, you know, one of those deals. Now, if you have special plans for this person to come in, the more important the person is, the more time you are important, Peter. Okay, so just leave that aside, but I take him for granted. No, but if you're having someone over, you're doing this big meal, you want the house to look presentable. You don't have your kids scatter their toys all over. You want everything to look right. Why? Because you're wanting them to feel comfortable. You don't want to have someone walking your door and kicking toys around because you want them to be able to enjoy it. God himself is dwelling inside your body. You want to present this vessel and you want him to be able to dwell in you and feel comfortable. And how you do that? By cleaning up what's inside and getting it ready for your guest. And he's a permanent guest. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so you say, I don't care what the outside looks like. Well, God cares. He's the one dwelling inside that, and you're representing him. So if you don't want to do it for yourself, sanctify your bodies for the one dwelling inside of you. Ephesians 4:30, and you guys know this one. And grieve not the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, that is a great verse for eternal security. And if you're going to, you know, a new convert, we went through the teens about new converts and what you should give them. One of the first doctrines you need to teach them is eternal security. And that's one of the key verses to that, is the fact that now that you're saved like a vessel, you seal it, and he is in you until the day of redemption. So we use that for our advantage to say, yes, the Holy Spirit is in us and he cannot get out. Well, that also means that the Holy Spirit is in you and he can't get out. That means he is trapped inside of you. And so we think of it as great. The Holy Spirit's in us. No matter what I do, he will not leave. But it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine you, Walmart, Target, anywhere you go, and you see things, or even driving down the street, you see things that you grieve, and you are so aggravated. The reason I don't like going to bowling alleys is because I'm sick of being grieved in there. And there's this constant frustration. You know, with me, I can get out of the store, I can get out of the bowling alley, I can walk away and no longer be grieved. The Holy Spirit is in your body, and he's grieved. He says, I don't want to listen to this kind of music. I don't want to listen to this kind of gossip. I don't want to do this, but I can't get out. It's like he's trapped in there, and we're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. You, like I said, with that house, you're supposed to be, it's supposed to feel welcome. When we have meetings, a lot of times you'll hear, or any time preaching, you'll hear someone pray, Lord, we want you to feel comfortable here. And that's what they're talking about, is you don't want the Holy Spirit to be in every member here. And, you know, the things that you went through last week, was it something that the Holy Spirit had to bear through and cringe and he couldn't get out no matter how badly he wanted to? Or was it something that the Holy Spirit took pleasure in and you got filled with the Holy Spirit and went along with it? If you get the concept of him, of trying not to grieve the Holy Spirit, that'll clear up a lot of gray areas in your life. You are not sure about some type of music or whether or not you should say something to somebody and stick your nose in other people's business. Or there's some gray areas you're not sure, you can't find a specific verse about. Ask if the Holy Spirit would be grieved by it and if he'd be comfortable with it. You're not your own. You bought with a price. Ask your landlord whether or not it's okay if you're able to do this or not. It'll clear up a lot of gray areas. And if it'll grieve the Holy Spirit, God, and stay away from it. You're not going to be a vessel unto honor. Back in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Now, you wouldn't think you'd have to define meet, but everyone says, my help meet, and they just say it as, you know, one word. Something that is meet for someone is something that is fitted for that person. He made Eve was a help, meet unto him. And so the way the Bible uses the word meet is it's something that's fitted for that person. It says if you're going to be a vessel unto honor, you to be meet for the master's use, fitted to exactly the way he wants to use that vessel. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 9. But we're supposed to be meat for the master's use. We're not supposed to be fitted for our own desires. We're supposed to be fitted for whatever he has for us. Let's see here if I turn right here. And of course, I wrote down the wrong reference. Let me check 1 Corinthians real quick. If not, we'll move on. I'm looking for the part where it's talking about Saul, and you know, he says they're reporting to Jesus Christ this man who was threatening out slaughters, and he says that is a vessel. Basically, he says that I have a specific use for that vessel, and the point I want to bring from that is that God can use a man like Saul that has certain characteristics like zeal and a conscience, and Paul was a man who lived by his conscience, and that's why he says, how hard is it for you to kick against the pricks? The pricks of his conscience were killing him. And God can use someone like that and say, oh, then we all need to be like Paul. No, because Paul did some things. He went to certain cities when he wasn't supposed to. Not everyone can be a Paul. Paul had a ministry. If you want to be like Paul, Paul's ministry, in that passage that I can't find, Paul's ministry, he said, it's one of suffering. And so you say, well, then everyone should be like Paul. No. He said, look, that's a specific vessel. There's some things in Paul that really no one else has. And it's not this puff you up that God needs you. God has a specific use for your vessel. It's just a matter of if you yield it to him. And so every vessel has a different purpose. Like I said, Paul had some zeal. He lived by his conscience that a lot of other people just didn't have growing up. You know, you think of Peter, and you think of all the apostles. Man, you have some contrary people as far as, you know, you had Paul, who was going to the Gentiles, which obviously the Jews were against. You had Peter. Man, everyone knows Peter for what? Opening his big mouth, right? And sticking his foot in it every time. But you say, so we can't be like Peter. No, but God had a specific, someone like that is always willing to speak up, is going to be the guy that preaches at Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. If you say, well, then do we be like Peter or do we not be like Peter? That's Peter. You say, well, why didn't John be like Peter? Well, if John was trying to be like Peter, then who would be leaning on Christ's breast at the Last Supper? You say, well, then we should all be like John. But then who's going to be Andrew? Who's going to be these other people that there's different parts of the body that we can't emulate? That's why God says, Jesus Christ says, follow thou me. He says, I'll make you become fishers of men. You're not supposed to be trying to emulate other Christians. Now, I look up to pastor and a lot of men in this church, but I'm not following their example and trying to be like them. Why? Because they're their own vessel. Whatever God has them doing, that's up to them. You know, you look at some people and you're wondering, you know, is that the will of God? It's not for me, but, you know, God maybe, you know, gave them some grace and some cleared it through their conscience, gave them the word of God, and you don't have to worry about how God is using other vessels. You need to worry about what the Lord is trying to do with your vessel. And you know what scares me is being a missionary. I don't know what it is about that. There's just any time I think and resurrender to be willing to do that, that scares me to death. And I can't imagine doing that. Other people, there might be, I doubt this, but maybe there is. There might be missionaries that would be scared to death of teaching a bunch of teens. To me, I love it. I feel comfortable with that. That's not your vessel. That's not what you're made for. That's fine. You be a missionary. I'll stick with teaching the teens here. But there is certain vessels that have a specific use. And if that's not what the Lord has for you, then be willing to be whatever type of vessel that he has. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. Tell you what, once you get there, let's hold your place in there, and I'm actually going to go to hold your place in Jeremiah 18, and then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me get that in a little bit. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, you guys know this, but I just, in context of you being the type of vessel that the Lord wants you to be, there's a great great similitude between that and having a body with many different members. So with that in mind, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, whereas the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. The key there is that he's placed you doing what you're doing according to his pleasure. And people are so dissatisfied with where God's put them, not everyone can have pastor's position. Who would be the ears in the church learning and being faithful? And, some people have to do the footwork. Some people physically have to use their hands to clean the church. There's so many parts of the body. You worry about your part of the vessel, the way God's trying to form and mold you for a specific purpose. And it's according to his pleasure. Jeremiah 18, if you held your place there, Jeremiah 18, verse 4. Now, this is talking about Israel, but it says, Jeremiah 18, 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You notice something about clay is that is probably the most dead element that he could have picked out. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he likens us to vessels. Well, what do you make vessels out of? Dust. Dust is one of the most obnoxious, annoying elements you could have picked out. Why do you have to mop a place you've never been? Because of dust. Nothing, time goes by, and you didn't mess it up, but there's dust. And God picks up that dust and makes a man. He says, he's trying to form something out of that dust. And the way, like I said, I know this is talking about Israel, but it says that the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. And there's two ways to apply this to us. One of the ways I want to apply it is the fact that Christ physically made us, right? We are all born. He is the creator and sustainer of life. So he obviously brought you into this world. We're the ones that messed it up. And he tried to, I picture the potter trying to form and get something, a young kid who still is safe and doesn't know sin. He's trying to form it, and then he learns about sin and gets marred. And he has to start all over. Why? Because he's a sinner. If you could get to heaven without sinning, then you could earn it, but you can't. Every time God goes to work in someone's life, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so later on in the verse it says, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And so you were born again. Christ tried to form something. We sinned. It got marred. Now he has this lump of clay that he has to fix. And he has to form it, and it has to be as seemed good to the potter. It's meat for the master's use. The clay has no say in the matter. There was a young girl, and she was crippled from her youth and had deformities. It was obvious that she had major handicaps beyond what we are used to even seeing. And she got a hold of the gospel and got saved and wanted to draw closer to God. So she did that. She read her Bible. She had a relationship with God. Oftentimes you see that with people with handicaps is that they have a certain relationship with God through their trials that most people don't have, like Fanny Crosby and whatnot. And she drew close to God, and there's this atheist that she bumped into that knew her well before she had gotten saved. And she said, he's arguing with her. He said, how can you believe that there's a God that would do this to you? As crippled as you are, you're never going to get married. You're never going to hold a job. You literally are confined to a wheelchair the rest of your life. And without giving a huge doctrinal and theological answer, she just said, "And so it seemed good in the hand of the potter." That's how God made me. He was forming me, and he had a specific vessel that he was trying to make. And it's not up to me the way he makes it. All I had to do was be moldable to his hands, and this is the way he wanted me. So this is as seemed good in the hand of the potter, and to him, I'm exactly what I should be. This is how he wanted me to be. That's easy to say because I have two legs that walk. And it's easy to say for me because of how the Lord has blessed all of us, in both spiritually and physically. But no matter what it is, whether you're frustrated with trying to do more and you don't feel like the Lord's using you, it's supposed to be meat for the master's use. And whether or not you're a water cup that you use every single day, or whether you're just something that the Lord once in a while pricks your heart and uses you, you're supposed to be meat for the master's use. And unto every good work, as we're going to see back in 2 Timothy. Let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the verse we've been taken from here, says that we're not only to be sanctified and meet for the master's use, but also and prepared unto every good work. And you can take good work and run with it, what the good work in your life he's trying to do. But what I want to focus on is the part that says prepared for the master's use. A vessel that you want to use needs to be prepared. Well, by definition, how do you prepare a vessel? Now, I'm not talking about making the vessel. The vessel's already made. At salvation, Christ, you know, made a vessel, and the more moldable you are, the more useful you can be. But the way you prepare a vessel is to clean it, which goes back to sanctification. And if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to clean that vessel. Get back on the shelf and wait for God to use you. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Let me be a broken record. Read your Bible every day, because it's the washing of the water by the word. You feel gross and grimy every day, wash it off. Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse, that's like water, cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Read your Bible on a daily basis. Why? If you're not getting nothing else, if you're not getting some deep doctrinal nugget every time you read the Bible, if nothing else, you're just washing off. You got some dirt on you today. Even doing right, a vessel that is being used appropriately and the way it's supposed to be used is still going to get dirty. It's not like the vessel had problems. It's not like you dropped a plate or anything. A vessel that's used is going to get dirty. That's one of the definitions of using a vessel, is the fact that it's just a given. After you use it, you wash it. You know, the longer you go without washing that vessel, the more stains and harder it's going to be to wash that. I was warming up some cappuccino. Don't ask me what I was doing on the stove, but I was doing it on the stove. I was warming up some cappuccino that we put in the fridge. And I looked at it, it was fine. All of a sudden, bubbled over, psh, all over the stove. We have a stovetop. Sugars, fats, do not like stovetops, or stovetops don't like those. Had I had time to wipe it up, no problem, right? Let it sit there for a couple days. We're still trying to get that thing out. Why? Because you didn't take care of it right away. Coffee drinkers? Anyone? No, okay, maybe two of us? Okay. Coffee drinkers. Okay, you have a mug, maybe it doesn't get stained as much, but you leave just a little bit of coffee in the bottom of that thing. If you don't wash it out, you rinse it out right as soon as you use it, no problem, it's clean. You let it sit there for a day or two. I have some, you go to my dad's house, literally almost every single one of their mugs has a little ring on the bottom, not every, the ones that dad uses. My mom's here like, I do dishes! The ones that get left in his truck. Because why? Because you don't wash it out right away. You want that vessel to stay clean, wash it out every day. If you let it sit there for a couple of days, you don't pick up this book, guess what? By habit, you know, you don't have to be some evil, wicked sin. Just time, and you just not clean up after walking through. Know why they wash disciples' feet is because
in those days that wore sandals, their feet got dirty, not from doing wicked things, just from walking around. Go home, wash your feet. Why? Because that dirt will stick to you if you don't wash it every day. And likewise, we are to wash ourselves in the Word of God, like I said, if you want to be a vessel unto honor. Now, back in Jeremiah 18, we're going to turn there, 18 verse 4, you know the type where he says it was marred in the hand of the potter, and he made it again, as seemed good to the hand of the potter. I hate to say this, but if the Lord has, if you have become so calloused and not wanting to be moldable to his hand, and you break, a lot of people, they're so hard. If you get to that point where your heart is hard, just like a vessel that is already formed, and it's not according to what God has, and God tried to do it, but over time you wouldn't let him wield you, and it hardens up, the only way to fix that is to break it. The vessel must be smashed into as small a pieces as possible, put in water to restart the cycle. The water, once again, the washing of the water by the Word, it has to soak in there for days and days to get back to the dust, to get back to the fundamentals of Christianity. And it's not anything deep. You just need, Christ may need to break you and say, Lord, I want to start over afresh. I want to do this thing right. Whatever you have to do, I want to become moldable again. Well, you're not going to become moldable until you break. It's a process. And when that, I don't know how many of you guys were here when Brother Ingeseth was here, but that was an eye-opener to me as he did that. He put it in, and a couple days later, he was able to take that clay out and start working with it again. But it wasn't until that was broken and soaked in water for days. The Lord says, all right, you're ready to be used. Take you out. And you know something interesting is that there's three times, of course, three is just a random number that has nothing to do with anything, right? Well, three times during that process, water is heavily used. The first time it's used is when it soaks that clay to get back to that richness that it once had. It breaks it, uses water. You notice that the hardest thing for the potter to do, there's a lot of hard things to do. Not the least of which is after he takes the clay out, he needs to knead that thing and press it out. And what he's doing is getting all the imperfections out, and there's air pockets in there. He's smushing it, and God's putting his thumb on you. He said, you want to be a vessel into honor? He drives that in. Paul, he says, the thorn in the flesh. He says, therefore I will glory in my infirmities. Why? Because he's getting the imperfections out. He's rubbing that thing. You know, after that, it says something, they do something real curious, is they take a little string and they'll throw it across the string that splits into two. And it hurt, and he takes it off. What is he doing? He's, once again, getting those air pockets out. He's cutting off imperfections. And he's throwing it across the string, it's splitting apart, form it back again. Form it back again. He just keeps chucking it, breaking it off and breaking it off, and he's trying to get all the imperfections. If he doesn't get those imperfections out and he puts it in the fire, it's going to crack. And so he's taking his time and he's trying to mold you, and the work hasn't even begun. You haven't even started to see the end product. You're just getting prepared. And after that, the potter will then put it on the wheel. Once again, the water. Puts the water on so it won't stick. Puts the water on that wheel, and Brother Ingeseth said, he said that one of the hardest things and the most frustrating thing is if that clay is not in the center of that wheel. If you can't get that thing dead center, just forget it. It's going to be doing this thing. It's going to be wobbling around. You like tires that are unbalanced? Woo, 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 woo. Anyone drive an old car? No, okay. All right. Anyways, come with me. I'll show you. But you have that. And he said the most frustrating thing is getting that thing centered. And what he does is as he's doing it, he dips his hand in water. And starts to form you, dips his hand in water, starts to form you. That water is heavily involved with how moldable. He says, why do you dip your hand in water? And that water does, it keeps it moldable. If you don't use the water, it's going to harden too fast. And your heart's going to be formed. You know, we're supposed to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you're supposed to be concrete in what you believe after the potter's done with you. And people get their own ideas. And they harden up and like, this is what I believe. And the potter can't get into him because he didn't let the water soak in and let him be moldable. So he gets it on the center of the wheel. That's what he said was one of the hardest things, is getting, having patience with that and trying to get it, because it wants to move every time it turns that wheel, and trying to get it centered. Once it's centered and you're in the center of God's will, then he can start to mold you, and from there it's a lot easier, as long as that clay is moldable, to make a vessel unto honor. The more moldable the clay, the easier it is on the potter. And you see people get whopped upside the head with a 2x4 by God, or maybe you have been, or I have been, and it's because it would be a lot easier if he wasn't having to bump you every time you came around, and if you were more moldable to God's will. You know what goes on after that? After he's done all that preparation, you say, good, it's all over. No, you get to be put in a furnace of over 1,000 degrees and see if really that's when it gets put to the true test. You don't know if you have a good vessel until you get put in the fire. Because you could have a vessel that looks immaculate. It could be dried. It could look beautiful. You put it in the fire, cracks. Why? Because there's something that the potter, and in our case, it wouldn't be God. But if you didn't take time to get all the air pockets out, if there's some dirt or anything like that that you weren't willing to let the Lord get out, you could put in the furnace, and you're gonna crack. You're not gonna last the fires. And the vessel, after being put through the fire, also has many other steps. It needs to be glazed and all this stuff, but the main part is that it has to be put through the fire and put through the test. And that's why a lot of times when people get put through the fire, like that crippled girl, they come forth and it's a beautiful vessel, but you have to go through the fire. And there's people in this room that represent probably every stage of that. There are young kids in here that, some are safe. They haven't been marred by sin. And so maybe the God's trying to form something. There's people in here that maybe are hard, and Christ may have to break you, and you have to start the process all over. I will say there are probably some in here who are moldable and have not hardened, and the Lord is still trying to show them wisdom through the Word of God and build them up, and they're moldable. They're willing to submit themselves to the water being put on them to keep them moldable. There is a song, let me see if I wrote the lyrics down here. There is a song that I heard a kids' choir sing. It really got to me. It says, Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender. I am thine, Lord. Here's my heart. And the fact that they had to sing, Savior, while my heart is tender, I'll give you every part. And the fact is that, you say, why did they have to sing that? Because as time goes on, your heart's going to harden. No matter good intentions, bad intentions, time is the enemy of pottery. If it wasn't for the drying process, the potter would have all the time in the world to form whatever he wants. The reason he has to keep putting water on there is because of time. Time dries it out. It's starting to harden. Put some water on there. Kids growing up, they're more moldable because there hasn't been as much time. Like I said, it's not that you're maybe trying to go against the will of God. You said if a potter is working on something and he just walks away 5 minutes, it's almost useless because he didn't form it while it was still moldable. So while you're moldable, while the Lord gets a hold of your heart, let the Lord work on you. Stay in the Word. Get that water to continue to let the Lord work on you. Like I said, after using a plate, the first thing you need to do is wash it. After you are used by God, whether it's the Lord used you to witness to someone or something, don't take that as, Brother Schwenke was preaching, taking a victory and then turning it into defeat. Even though you were used, what is one of the definitions of being used? Is to get dirty. Just the nature of things are. Get back in the Word. Just because you had a victory, that means you still need to get back in the Word. You were used as a vessel, get back in the Word. You got dirty by sin, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It goes back to that water. The only way to truly cleanse your heart is through this Word. The longer you go, like I said, without washing, the harder it's going to be, which is why you need to daily wash your mind and heart out with this Word. If the Lord looked down, and I often have these conversations with the Lord in my head, or imagine them, and the Lord looked down and said, I need someone to do such and such, and you fill the blank with whatever it is. It could be be a missionary. It could be something small. It could be, you know, I want you to go minister to this person. And he's looking around, and I have a weird mind, but he's looking around, and I imagine myself looking for a vessel to use and say, I want to put something in this vessel. You know where I'm not going to go? I'm not going to go to the dirty dishes pile. I'm going to go in the cupboard where something's already been washed. I don't, you know, something that, you know, if you can get the stains off, something that's daily been washed, there's no grime and gunk on it. You didn't spill cappuccino on your stove. Something like that. Something to where it's been daily washed and prepared. That goes back to 2 Timothy 2. It says, prepared unto every good work. So the Lord looks down and he says, look, I want a vessel. And out of good intent, you say, Lord, Lord, pick me, pick me, pick me. And you're just like a little rabbit, just, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. And looks down and looks right over you. Why? Your vessel's dirty. I can't use a dirty vessel. And once again, it goes back to sanctification. Why is it so important that you get set apart and sanctify your body and have it presentable to God? Because when he comes by and looks for a vessel, he's going to look for one that's prepared unto every good work. And so you say, Lord, choose me, choose me, choose me. Lord says, yeah, but you haven't been washed since the last time I used you. I used you a couple of days ago, but you haven't been in the Word. And as you're having this conversation, you say, Lord, okay, I'll clean up. Just give me a second. I'll get in the Word. Just hang on just 1 second. You go back to the Lord. Say, all right, Lord, I'm ready. And the silence is deafening. The Lord already got someone else. He said, look, if I'm going to use someone, it's not that he's in a huge rush, but the Lord has vessels that he can use, that when he has something that needs to be done, if you're not ready and you're not cleaned, he can get someone else. When I said at the beginning that you have a specific, your vessel is specifically designed for something that God has for you, and that no one else can do exactly what God has for you, that also doesn't mean that when something needs to get done that you're the only one that can do it. God can use someone else, but maybe he comes by your way and sees a vessel that he says, I remember making that, and that was meant to contain this, but I can't use that. It's all filthy. It looks over, oh, that one's clean. Take that one. You know, I want the Lord to be able to come by and look in my heart and see that I've sanctified myself and say, now that is, he might not be the most glamorous. He might not be, you know, something in the china cabinet that you display. He just might be plodding along, being faithful, but he's clean. I'd rather use a clean, Tupperware plate than I would a dirty chinaware. I don't care how nice it looks when it's clean. If it's not clean, I'm not using it. So maybe the Lord just wants someone who is just down to earth, a vessel, like I said, that is not necessarily all that impressive, doesn't have a lot going for him. Just, if anything going for him, he's just faithful. He's faithful in a lot of things, and not the least of which is just getting in the Word and being prepared unto every good work. Wouldn't you like God to be able to use you every day? And I find that in my life that it's, sadly enough, in spurts. And you go through and, you know, the Lord uses you in a certain area and you're able to minister and it kind of seems like you're on a roll, and then it kind of, you look back after a while and, man, the Lord hasn't used me in a while. I would rather every day be used by God. Once again, not to sound like a broken record, the only way to do that is to get in the Word. If you have not been in the Word to wash and cleanse yourself of being either used or of sin, God can't use a dirty vessel. Sanctify, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing these people out here tonight, and we thank you for your Word. Pray that you would help us to wash ourselves and be able to cleanse our minds and our thoughts. Pray that you would help us to be presentable unto you, that you would look down and be pleased to be able to use us, and that we would be prepared for whatever you have for us and be content with the vessel that you've made. And I pray for some people in here, you got some young people as well that are still moldable, and hopefully some older people too, but they're naturally just more flexible to what your will is. I pray that you would help them to now surrender and be moldable to the hand of the potter. Pray that you would bless as we sing a final song and be dismissed. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.